Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 40 years since my last confession.
We're making a documentary about religion.
Oh, boy.
Why doesn't he just obliterate the devil and therefore get rid of evil in the world?
He will.
He will?
Yeah,
what's
up.
He waiting for?
I believe that God wants everybody to be free. That's what I believe. And that's one part of my foreign policy.
You're a senator. It worries me that people are running my country who believe in a talking snake.
You don't have to pass an IQ test to be in the Senate, though.
So you would agree that even if a billion people believe something, it can still be ridiculous?
Absolutely. How we define what is crazy or not crazy about religions is ultimately up to how we define crazy.
You start disputing my God, and you've got a problem.
A little bit of a trailer from Bill Maher's upcoming documentary on religion. It's called Religulous, and it's coming out in theaters soon. I'm sure it'll be a big hit. We're going to be talking about the irrationality of irreligion here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, columnist for the Wall Street Journal, joins us. She's got a column in the most recent edition, Look Who's Irrational Now. Greetings and welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday. It's the 19th of September. You can join us with questions or comments for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. A little bit later, Greg Kokel will be our guest. We'll respond to some arguments often heard in favor of same-sex marriage. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C., contributor to GetReligion.org, and author of a column in today's Wall Street Journal titled, Look Who's Irrational Now. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
The critics, like Bill Maher and others, say that if you'll believe what Christians say they believe, you'll believe anything. Is that true?
Well, it's interesting. There have been, you know, people can talk about this on both sides, but there's actually been some studies done in recent years and one done quite recently that shows that the people who are most likely to believe anything are people who are not religious and people who come from liberal Protestant denominations. So you actually have studies, you know, where they can do like an index of how likely you are to believe something. And again, people who are traditional, conservative, religious people are the least likely to believe, for instance, that your horoscope has any meaning or dreams foretell the future or you can communicate with the dead or that Bigfoot exists or the Loch Ness Monster exists. So the more likely you are to believe those things, the more likely you are to be irreligious or from those sort of more liberal Protestant denominations.
So at the very least, there's a correspondence, two correspondences, apparently, between irreligion and believing things like the stranger kind of paranormal, irrational things, and a correspondence between religious beliefs and the tendency not to believe in those things.
Right. And I think it can't be stated enough. This is exactly the opposite of what we're told when we watch pop culture, whenever you listen to anything Bill Maher says, or any of the new atheists like Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens. They're constantly advocating for this like new atheist revival that would bring forth skeptics and people who are deeply rational and not in any way liable to believe anything goofy, as they claim that traditional Christian beliefs are or other religious beliefs are. And it's just literally, it couldn't be further from the truth.
You mentioned this in your column, Molly. I was watching Saturday Night Live. They had an early premiere this last weekend. And they did a skit, a game show skit, where there were some kids of a homeschooled family, and the mother would occasionally kind of, in an insane manner, wander out onto the stage. And the homeschool kids were depicted as overtly religious, but also really ignorant. Is this true?
Well, I mean, it's sort of like the image of homeschoolers from 30 years ago, and the writers of Saturday Night Live are still so, in a bubble that they didn't realize that this is not in any way an accurate representation of who homeschools. But what was interesting in that skit was that the mother kept on denying germ theory. when they were asking questions about biology that dealt with germs, she was saying that it wasn't germs, it was gremlins that attacked the body. And what's so funny about that is that is exactly what Bill Maher believes. And he has gone on many late night shows, you know, David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, Larry King, and he says he does not believe in germ theory. He thinks that Louis Pasteur recanted his belief in his germ theory on his deathbed, which is laughable and not true. And he does, so Bill Maher doesn't believe like in vaccinations. He doesn't believe that the Salk vaccine eradicated polio. He thinks other things did. So what's funny is here they're lampooning homeschoolers, and it's exactly what this supposed icon of rationality, Bill Maher, it's actually what he believes.
Let's talk a little bit about the forthcoming documentary from Maher on religious people and religion. He really makes the rounds and talks to just about everyone in the religious spectrum. What should we expect from this in the theaters?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the documentary. I am very familiar with Bill Maher's work because for some reason my husband makes me watch every Friday night his show on HBO. So I'd anticipate that it would be very funny. It would be deeply biting. You know, it would just be a very one-sided portrayal of religion. I'm sure that he goes after, like, the stupidest religious adherents he can find and then makes them look like fools if past his prologue in his work. But also, I mean, it's kind of interesting how people who attack religion, they like to group all religious belief together, which is sort of gaming the system. And I'm sure he'll do that as well.
You have an interesting bit of data in your column about a Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life U.S. Religious Landscape Survey, where even atheists, self-described atheists, seem to hold to some religious beliefs. What did you discover there?
Yeah, it was for me the most surprising part of that Pew Landmark survey, and that was the one that got most of the press for revealing that people switch denominations a lot. But it showed that that 21% of people who identify as atheists actually believe in God, which makes no sense since the definition of atheist is they don't believe in God, and that 10% of them pray weekly to either a personal God or some kind of impersonal force, and 12% believe in heaven. So I don't quite know what it means other than, I mean, it's like you can't trust atheists anymore than anyone else, and I think that maybe people don't quite know what that term means, but it was certainly, you know, one of the more surprising parts of that survey.
You spend a lot of time in a profession that, at least by reputation, is peopled by the skeptics and by people who would not consider themselves overtly religious. I'm talking about journalism. Can Christians, as they move about in the world, ever really hope to live down the myth that they are irrational?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have been greatly discouraged these last couple of weeks with my profession, which I'm normally quite proud to be a member of. I don't know what it means that so quickly they, because of a personal dislike for the politics of Governor Palin, they went after religion, they went after traditional Christian beliefs, they went after evangelicalism. I mean, in a really crude and, you know, just non-thinking way, like you look at the political cartoons, the columns, the articles, there's so little understanding of religion. You look at that Charlie Gibson interview, and here's one of the most prominent anchors in, you know, network television, and he totally misstated what Governor Palin's religious views were. And when she said, "I don't think that's what I said," he said, "Oh no, those were your exact words," which wasn't true. But everybody wanting to believe that she had said some crazier stuff than she had just ran with it. And you know, it just any progress that has been made, I think, in treating people of different religious views from the mainstream media, which is largely secular, any progress that has been made in treating those respectfully, I think, has been eroded over the last couple of weeks. And I'm discouraged, and I'm hoping that the whole profession isn't, you know, imploding on this front just because of their short-term desire to see, you know, one political side win over another.
So with only a minute here, I'm wondering, a lot of people marked it as a sign of progress that there was more God talk in the presidential campaign and that there seemed to be a fairer evaluation of religious people and religious views with all the God talk in the presidential campaign. Do you think that's going to continue, or has it come to a screeching halt?
I don't know. I mean, as Lutherans, we see a two kingdom separation here. So sometimes when I watch the religious coverage, it just confuses me a great deal. Like, there's people in the press are no different than anyone else, seem to think that whatever someone's religious views are the most important thing to understanding what their governance is going to be like. And, you know, obviously I don't share that opinion on no matter where you are in the political spectrum. But I did think that things were getting much better with this election. I thought that the media were taking the time to understand different religious views. I really thought that they went out of their way with Barack Obama after an initial little frenzy with his pastor Jeremiah Wright to understand black liberation theology and to put it into context. And no, that is not what's happening now. And I don't know if there'll be time for them to calm down and get their act together and, you know, have a couple of deep breaths and say, oh, actually there are Pentecostal people in the world today and here's what they believe. I mean, we've seen very little understanding of that, and I don't know if we will, because the media are clearly so angry at her.
Well, at least it'll give Molly and her cohorts at GetReligion.org something to do for the next 3 months or so. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C., contributor to GetReligion.org and author of a column in today's Wall Street Journal titled "Look Who's Irrational Now." You can read this column on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Molly, keep up the good work, and thanks for being our guest.
And you too. I just have to say how much I love listening to the show, and you have a great day.
Thank you so much. It's nice to hear that from you. When we come back from this break, Greg Kokel will be our guest. We'll talk about same-sex marriage and respond to the arguments we often hear for it. Stay tuned.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. IssuesETC.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Government website links poor to Planned Parenthood.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The federally funded WIC program, short for Women, Infants, and Children, provides food and health care to low-income women and their children, thereby protecting their well-being. But recently, WIC's website has undermined that goal by providing a link to Planned Parenthood, America's largest abortion provider. The link was reported by Dawn Eden, a pro-life blogger, and quickly provoked protest. The connection between WIC and Planned Parenthood is clear. Notes Eden, a hefty chunk of the $5 billion in taxpayer funds for the WIC program goes to the abortion business.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.